America's Legal Wine Network now presents Weinberg on the Law on CBS Radio, WXYT Detroit, AM 1270. Here's your host, attorney Scott Weinberg.
Is Michigan and Oakland County going up the down staircase, going against the norm with innovative plans and trying to regain its status as one of the best places to live in the country? Well, today we're lucky enough to be joined by L. Brooks Patterson. Brooks Patterson is beginning his fifth four-year term as Oakland County Executive, one of America's most affluent and progressive counties. Mr. Patterson presides over a nearly $820 million budget for a workforce of 4,000 full and part-time employees. He's the former Oakland County prosecutor and former candidate for Michigan governor. Brooks, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Brooks, one of the things that's obviously on everybody's mind is the economy. Now, I know you've spoken in the past about top 10 emerging business sectors for our new economy in Michigan. Tell us what you mean by that. How can we rejuvenate after this auto nightmare?
Yeah, I think that program we kicked off back in 2003, gave us a head start on the competition. In 2003, I saw a headline in the newspaper, it was October of 2003, and it said 200,000 jobs had left Michigan. And when we looked a little deeper into the story, it was clear to me that this was not a cycle within the domestic automotive industry. It was a total restructuring. My father worked for Chrysler for 43 years, so I think I know a cycle when I see one. And this is different. You could tell these jobs were gone. The industry was beginning to implode. And if you fast forward, we've lost now, instead of 200,000 jobs, almost a million jobs in Michigan over the last decade. So
that's unbelievable.
I know.
Almost a million jobs.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's causing, of course, all the pain. That's why Michigan has led the nation 45 straight months in unemployment and so forth. Well, what I asked my staff to do was do a deep dive and research project and look ahead 20, 30 years and try to divine what might be the sectors for future economic growth that would be high-paying, high-quality, and sustainable. I wanted them to be around these jobs 20, 30, 40 years. So with that charge, they went out and came back with the 10 sectors that we think we can build a vibrant, diversified economy around over the next number of decades. And the industry that you, the sectors you might have, you would probably guess them, frankly. It's not that difficult. They're all high tech. They're in IT, nanotechnology, alternative energy. The healthcare, of course, is a big one. Finance. It goes across advanced manufacturing. But the common denominator of all the 10 sectors that we think are going to be the jobs of the future, it's all part of the knowledge-based economy. It's going to be that economy is going to require at least a college degree to participate at any meaningful level. And so that's what we're doing. We're chasing those jobs now. We launched the program in 2004, so that's about 6 years ago, and we've brought in so far 145 companies within those 10 sectors. They've invested about $1.5 billion and have created, going on to about 28,000 jobs.
You know, one of the, you talk about education, and I know that one of the explosions in terms of education here in Oakland County, but along the state are community colleges. Those actually placements and those applications have really gone up a lot.
Yeah, the OCC in my county had something like a 20,000 surge of students, and it's now the largest college in the state of Michigan, I think even bigger than Michigan State. It's what's happening. Workers have to go back to school to get retrained with new skills to take these new jobs that are coming in.
In terms of dealing with different counties, and I know there's always been tension dealing between, obviously, Wayne County and Oakland County. Is that relationship getting better? Are you working well with Mayor Bing?
Well, Bing and I are good friends, and in fact, we had a panel this morning where we engaged in, I think, some good give and take about the region, and I think he's a decent guy, a very decent guy to work with, to partner up with. So going forward, I think you're going to see a lot of cooperation in the region between city and suburb. Wayne County, you know, there's friendly competition between, you know, anybody, between counties, between states. And so we work hard to attract our business, as the county does in Wayne County.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You want the jobs here, don't we? We want the jobs here in Oakland County.
Yeah, we want them in Oakland County for sure. And sometimes I win. Most of the times we win, but sometimes we lose out to another county, and that's the nature of the beast. You don't win them all. But then the second best thing, if I can't get them in Oakland, I want them in Michigan.
Right.
So it is a win-win all the way around there.
Now, you ran for governor back in 1981. Actually, you know what? You of course don't remember, but you were at my house at the gubernatorial debate with Governor Brickley and Headley, and I remember meeting you back then too. But why don't you run for governor? What's going on with that? Why don't you want to be our governor and bring all the jobs back to our state?
Well, you know, I thought about it. I even did some deep dive into the governor's race this year. Right now, it's too late. Of course, the filing deadline has already passed. But and I came to the conclusion, whereas some of the programs, or many of the programs I've instituted in Oakland County, which are paying huge dividends, are easily, I think, adapted at the state level, and hopefully the benefits could be enjoyed across the state. But I also looked at the economy here in Michigan and how the governor, as far as I'm concerned, has mismanaged it. And we're now about $1.7 billion in the hole. The state owes $53 billion for unfunded health care promises for former state employees who are now retired. And it's a horror story. And so when you go up there, I felt my job would not be like it is here, where I can institute programs and try to do some meaningful reform. I think the governor, the next governor, whoever he is, and it's going to be a he because there's no women running, whoever he is going to go up there and not be a governor in the traditional sense. He's going to go up there and be a liquidator. He's going to be closing down department after department after department because, frankly, the state is broke.
Well, isn't that what happened with GM? And they didn't, when they had who is it, the GM chairman that came in? And basically, it was liquidated, right? They came in and they had to liquidate.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to, you can't, it's hard to control when you're really trying to just put your finger in the dike.
Yeah, and that's what he, you know, that's what the governor's going to inherit, the same thing that Whitaker inherited. And I'm not saying the state is heading for a package bankruptcy like GM went through, but we're heading for some very, very tough times. And I come from that school. You don't solve the problems of the state by raising more taxes on an overtaxed state. So if you're going to go up there and live within your means, you're going to have to cut some programs, which I'm perfectly prepared to do. I think the state government is bloated. I think a lot of those programs have outlived their usefulness, and we could probably do some meaningful reforms. But, yeah, my reason for not running are twofold. Number one, I love the job I have here. I've got a lot of programs that are halfway through completion. I don't want to walk out on like the one we just talked about, emerging sectors, or Michigan, the Main Street Oakland program, where we're, you know, going back to rehabbing our cities. We're halfway through that project. We got Medical Main Street trying to take advantage of the investment of the medical profession. Oakland County got 93,000 people working in that field, so we got a whole program to advance that. I got so many things going here. I just didn't want to abandon. And number two, I looked up at Lansing and said, you know, the state is in such a sad state of repair that the next governor is basically going to be, like I said, a liquidator and maybe a caretaker.
Take a one-term governor,
yeah.
The next governor?
Well, you know, if the guy goes up there and does what he has to do, make the cuts, force the state employees into realistic benefit packages, move them to the defined contribution away from defined benefits, and you know, get a handle on the expenses that are driving the state further and further into the red. I've heard like a guy like Bouchard, who I'm supporting, say, well, you know, if I make all those tough decisions, I'll probably be a one-term governor. I don't think so. I think the public's going to say, that's what we've been waiting for all these years.
Right.
And we're going to return you to Lansing so you can finish the job. I really disagree with Mike on that one.
You know, one of the things that, and I have kids here too, and I've got a daughter up at Michigan State, and you know, and I want this next generation to stay around here. I mean, I know that you have got kids. How do you keep the younger generation to say, hey, listen, we're graduating from college, and you know, we're not sure what's going to happen here. We're going to go out of their states, or their cities like Chicago or Boston, Annapolis, where their jobs.
You know why they're leaving for Boston and Chicago, San Francisco and Denver and all the other hot spots. They're leaving because, frankly, they can get a job there. we can keep a lot of our talented kids here graduating from state or from OU or from Michigan where, if there was an opportunity to employ them here. They don't want to move away from their childhood friends and their and parents and siblings. They could find an opportunity here. I think they would stay. Now, some, of course, are going to have the wanderlust and take off. That's fine. But we're opening up a new medical school in Oakland County next August. And we're starting to take applications this June for the Oakland University William Beaumont School of Medicine. And, well, we're going to reverse the brain drain. I'll bet you, out of our first class of 50, that, you know, I'll bet you 15 to 25 of those kids are going to be coming from other states. So we're bringing in bright, talented kids to our school systems.
Well, that's exactly what we need. We're talking with Oakland County Executive L. Burks Patterson. I can't let you go without talking about the Silver Dome. What's going on with that? Did I hear that there's a drive-in theater at the Silver Dome?
Well, the outside, they have a couple of screens, and I think they've that's just a minor part of it. It was bought by a Toronto Canadian investor, industrialist, whose son is actually running it down here. And they're trying to get it back in online as an entertainment venue and for concerts and soccer and all that kind of stuff. And they're moving in that direction, slowly, albeit, but they are moving. And so they stole it. And I mean that in a friendly way.
So cheap. What did they buy it for? It was so cheap.
There's 127 acres, and the Silverdome that seats 80,000 people, and they bought the whole shooting match for $583,000.
I mean, that's unbelievable. It sounds like a
it's a steal. And so if they do nothing with it and just let it sit there and pay the taxes, of course, because now it's in their private hands and it's back on the tax rolls. 4 or 5 years from now, maybe 3 or 4 years from now, when the economy's fully returned and market value of property is starting to accelerate, and then they could triple, quadruple, 10 times their investment.
It's unbelievable the kind of steals you can make. You know, I wanted to ask you, do you ever miss being a prosecutor and having that kind of a situation here in Oakland County, keeping our crime down?
Well, you know, I did that for 19 years. I thought I was good at it. In fact, I know I was good at it. And I'd done everything I wanted to do. I mean, I tried literally every kind of case there was, argued from the United States Supreme Court and so forth. Had all the opportunities I could ever expect as a prosecutor. And I didn't want to burn out on the job, and so I stepped aside when I was on top of my game, went into private practice for 4 years, and then when this office opened up and Dan Murphy retired, I came back. I can't believe it's been 18 years, but it's been every day is exciting. We got a lot of challenges. I got a great staff in place to help me manage what's going on in Oakland County. I mean, what's going on in Oakland County, of course, is not immune from the challenges of the state economy. I mean, we lost just last year 60,000 jobs. And the reason we lost so many jobs in one county is because GM was my largest employer. Chrysler was headquartered here. Lear is headquartered here. Delphi is headquartered here. You see the problem. We have a lot of eggs in one basket.
How do you replace that? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, this is that whole program. This is called emerging sectors. Right. We're going out getting sectors outside of automotive. Automotive is not one of our 10 sectors. We love what we have, and we're delighted they're here. But we're chasing other sectors aggressively. And we're doing that, frankly, all around the world. We've got 900 foreign-owned corporations in Oakland County applying. About 125,000, and just this afternoon at 2 o'clock, before we did this interview, I was over at the groundbreaking for a 240,000 square foot building, which would be the national headquarters for U.S. Verathane, which is a manufacturer, but it's the high level of manufacturing, and it's really one of our 10 sectors, and it's called advanced manufacturing, and so that U.S. Verathane falls right into our long term strategy. Called emerging sectors. And
how do we attract that? Do we offer tax incentives to be able to come here? What are we doing
to attract them? Good. Yes, the state was involved, and they have a mega grant, and they tried to make available whatever incentives they could. We have training dollars down here at the county level. We put that in. The local community, I'm sure, which would be Auburn Hills, made some concessions on their property tax. And so we had to match with our competitor in this particular case with U.S. Verathane, was Tennessee. So we had to make sure we matched whatever Tennessee was put on the table. We would have lost it. So what we got was 700 jobs, 300 new jobs over the next 5 years, 240,000 square foot national headquarters. It fits right into our strategy.
Well, we need to do more of that. So do more of that. We appreciate that.
All right, I'll be out there.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention also the Brooksy Way Half Marathon and 5K race, which attracted more than 4,000 participants back in 2008. And I know it's in honor of your son. It's taking place again this October.
Yeah, my son was killed in February of 2007. So we're going to have a half marathon and a 5K, and so the committee, out of respect for me and my son, named the race after Brooks. So it's called the Brooksy Way, and people want to check it out. It's called brooksyway.org, or is it .com, I think. Brooksyway.com. It's a beautiful half marathon, 13.1 mile trek through North Oakland County, down on some of our trails, running by the creek. Really is one of the prettier half marathons, I think, according to the runners who report back. So we're going to do it again this October the 3rd, and we hope to have over 5,000 runners on this third race.
Well, I encourage everybody to go to. I want to thank my guest, L. Brooks Patterson, Oakland County Executive, for joining us today. And Brooks, I hope we can have you on in the near future and have you on hopefully before October again.
Oh, I'd like to do that again. I look forward to it.
Take care.
Okay, you too.